of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
So as long as you're in one position, God can't put you in another place when you're not in the position God wants you to be in. And many of us have missed the waiting position because we were in the wanting position and missed God. So therefore, we missed out on what God had provided and promised for us because we had to have it now. Listen, because I want you to see something. The Bible is clear on the fact that if we are Christ's, if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that all things are ours that belong to Him. How will He not with Him, Jesus, freely give us all things? If Jesus gave us His life, is there anything better than His life? Not to God. And because of His life, everything that's worth something is connected to His life. And so through the connection of Christ, we have available to us everything that belongs to Christ. Because when we connected with Christ, we had the privilege extended to us to enjoy what belongs to Jesus. Listen at that. So the next time I settle for strife, next time I settle for mess, next time I settle for the tricks of the devil, it is because I made a choice to settle for that because God had reserved His best. And nothing less was He willing to give to me. But listen, I've got to know that He didn't withhold it from me. I got ahead of Him. Can you look back on your life and say every mistake you made was your fault, not God's? Can you honestly say that? Listen to what He says. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. If God justifies, the record is clear in Isaiah 54 and 17 that the heritage of the saints is this, that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us shall be condemned in judgment. That's the heritage of the saints. So that means when folk lay stuff to your charge and try to say stuff against you, God says, where are you going with this? God says, I see him better than you see him. I see her better than you see her. I know him better than you know him. I know her better than you know her. I know their situation better than you know their situation. I see the extenuating circumstances of their situation. I know the why and the motive of their hearts as well as the scenarios being played out. In other words, I've got the full picture. What do you have? See, God's not going to let you judge his elect without talking to him about who he is in control and in view of all things he has created. In other words, it's an indictment against God and a slap in his face when you try to tell him something about his children that he don't know. Because listen, he's really talking about Satan and those who operate in the spirit of Satan, who's always with a condemning and judgmental spirit. And see, sometimes what we think is just because our opinion of somebody may be strong and wrong, that it's going to influence God like it does people. But I've got news for you. When God gets through shining the spotlight on your sins and your shortcomings and your stuff up in the closet, he'll expose you so that whatever they did will seem like child's play. Tell somebody, you better be careful about judging others. I know you don't want to hear this. Come on, tell somebody you ought to be careful about judging somebody. Especially God's elect. God's people. Listen, in Zechariah, write this down and you get some time to study it. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. God comes to the rescue of Joshua when Satan is standing up there trying to accuse Joshua. Joshua's standing there in dirty garments and clothing with a dirty turban on his head, and the devil is reading his record, and God rebukes the devil against Joshua. See, because what you need to know is no matter how good we try to be, the devil can still find some fault with us. But I'm so glad God knows our hearts, so that when the devil starts telling him all the mess he's got to tell about you, God stops him in his tracks and rebukes him and says, I know him better than you'll ever know him. And so what God proceeds to do is straighten you out, get you together, and make you everything that he wants you to be, even in the midst of your fault, even in the midst of your frustrations, even in the midst of your not being all that he's called you to be. He loves you to the point where he protects you with his own honor and his own name. And so he makes clear in this 33rd verse, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now listen to this. If God justifies, then it is clear that nobody can unjustify you. In other words, when the judge of all judges, now that's the highest court. Matter of fact, it's so high it ain't even in this land. Y'all catch that on your way home. And every high court in this land, he can overthrow the judgment of them because his is the highest court. And so if God justifies you, it doesn't matter who tries to unjustify you. And look at this word. I want you to go to verse 34 because I want you to see this. It says, who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died. Yeah. Yeah. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now here's how God justifies you. And hear this, because you need to see justification in the sense and the light of God's justice versus man's justice. You see, if you are guilty in man's sight, then no justice can be given. But you can be guilty in God's sight and still be justified. Well, how is that? Because here, God allows a substitute for your sins. Jesus, who is going to pay the price that God requires for every sinner has already done his part. So that means he has already died, shed his blood, and risen again from the dead. He now sits on the right hand of the Father. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once they come into that place of salvation, they are added into the security of what Jesus offered through his sacrifice, his blood, his life, his living, and his resurrection. And so he has paid for them the price of every one of their sins. Having done this, he has satisfied the price of man's penalty with God, which means when he paid the bill, he also left the tip. He took care of everything. So you listen, has anybody ever paid your lunch bill and then tell you, now you leave the tip? Now, if you're going to pay the bill, go on, leave the tip. I mean, if you're going to really do me a favor, Jesus did it all. Listen, he paid for your past, your present, and your future sins according to his word. And because he has paid it all, the justification is in the sight of God when you repent and get right with God is just as if you never did it. In other words, yeah, you were guilty of the charge. Yeah, you did do what was said. But when the blood is applied, when the receipt is given, God sees you just as if you never committed the crime. And so listen at this. If God justifies you, it don't matter who says she's guilty, he's guilty. It is moot with God. It is of no moment with God. God does not even pay attention to it. And so the devil is just going around shouting meaningless words to God, bringing up stuff that just don't matter to God. And I got news for you. If God is the one who wakes you up in the morning, if God is the one who opens doors for you, make ways for you, shows you favor, gives you mercy, if God is the one who takes care of you, and if he justifies you, does it matter who does not? See, my problem is, not your problem, but my problem is sometimes I worry about what folk think. My concern should not be whether or not folk think good about me. I ought to do the good I can do, but my whole desire ought to be, God, what do you think about me in spite of what man thinks of me? Because man will love you when you're up. Oh, but just don't fall. Don't slip. Don't move from your place of high esteem, because the same folk who loved you will turn around. It's a thin line. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Between love. I ain't gonna finish it because you know it. The 8th chapter in the 1st verse says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in relationship, Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if God doesn't judge us by man's standard and he justifies us by Jesus' standard, then if God doesn't condemn us and Jesus doesn't condemn us and angels can't condemn us and man, it doesn't matter if he condemns us and the devil in hell cannot condemn us. It is because if God has justified us, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. That's why, listen. That's why when you are justified by God and he treats you just as if you didn't do it, what reason do you have to hold your head down? Because if he doesn't condemn you, your conscience doesn't condemn you. If your conscience, see, it's your conscience and the judgment of God that makes the weight so heavy on you. But if God says, I forgive you, and you are not condemned in my sight, then your conscience has no reason to hold your head down, make you feel bad, or put any weight on you, because God has justified you. And too many justified folk are living like they are not justified by God. making you feel less than who God says you are, living beneath your privilege, paying for a mistake God has already given the blood of Jesus to pay for, still acting like you've got to pay again when it's already been paid. What you do need to do is show your receipt. The word of God is my receipt that Jesus has paid for it. My spirit bears witness. My soul bears witness. The Holy Ghost bears witness. I am sealed in this relationship with Christ Jesus. And all that God has for me, God will do according to his word. Verse 35, and I'm closing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We're still talking about this great challenge now. Who? Because if God is for us, it don't really matter who's against us. No one really can truly be against us and succeed.
Yeah, that's right.
So based on this same reality, if God be for us, the question now is, who shall separate us? Because the same person who is able to hurt us, if God is with us, is the same person that can separate us from God's love. But listen, if they didn't find him out in verse 31, they won't find him in verse 35, because he does not exist. So listen, when the word says, it's a rhetorical question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, first of all, get it straight and understand it. Of denotes origin, where it comes from. See, the devil can separate us from Christ's love many times because all he got to do would mess with our love and it messes with our connection to Christ. But this is talking about Christ's love for us. So he's done everything he could to separate Christ's love from us. He tried, but he couldn't do it. So the devil has tried every trick in the book, and he knows that there's nothing he could do to cut off Christ's love to us. Nothing. Nothing can he do that would make Christ stop loving us. Man, do you realize how powerful that is? Do you know how many people's lives have been ruined because somebody else was able to make somebody else separate their love from them? You know, you loved your friend and so forth, and somebody else came and lied on you, and now you're no longer friends because somebody separated you because of a lie? Do you know how many marriages and homes are broken up because some tattletale, some hater wishing, and you can't see who they are? They were in your shoes with your situation and came told you something about your husband or your wife, and you believed that fool, and now you out in the cold like them with nobody, hurting, crying, whining. Gotta cook your own food, clean your own clothes. I wish I had a witness now, because you let somebody separate you from. Oh, y'all not hearing me here. News for you. It ought to be refreshing to you that the devil can't tell nothing to the Lord about you that's going to make him leave you alone. I know you can't say it loud, but somebody's saying, preach, preacher, all up in their spirit. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, the devil accuses us of so many things, and here is the truth. He's right about most of it. He ain't lying on us. Lord, there y'all looking like I'm making this up. He's telling the Lord the truth about you, and the Lord is saying, uh-huh, and what else? And when the Lord gets enough of that, he rebukes the devil, because he said, listen, wait, what you don't understand, devil, is I'm married to the backslider.
What you don't understand is I love them with an unconditional love. What you don't understand, this is an everlasting. Yes, I hear what you say, and I'm not blind. I saw it before you said it, but I love them so much that I will love them in spite of them, not because of them. Lord, now that's some real love. Tell somebody that's the love you ought to have. You because when you're not what I want you to be and do no more, my love will see. But when I love you in spite of, ain't nothing you can do to stop that love from flowing. And that's the love Christ has for us. Not even us can stop him from loving us. That's powerful love. And so many lose their song and lose their joy and lose their praise when they disappoint the Lord and they think that he stops loving them because they think out of the mindset of their own experience. Had that been done to me, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have loved him. I couldn't have kept on. I couldn't have. But think of how you mess up and he still wakes you up. Think of how you mess up and he keeps opening doors for you. Think about the wrong that you've done and the things he told you to do and you didn't do and the things he told you not to, and you say, and he still keeps on blessing you in spite of you. What a love. Look at this. Look at this. It says, shall tribulation, because the devil can use tribulation to try and separate us from the love of God. Or distress. He tried to use the distresses of this life, our situations, our trials, our tribulations, to separate us from the love of God. Because listen, tribulations, like distresses, will bring out some stuff in you you didn't even know was there. See, so right was the world when they say never say never. So you act like you all that right now, you on top, you used to life and you convenient and comfortable with some things, and you look at somebody because you're not in that boat and you don't know why it's rocking like it's rocking because you're not in that. Be careful how you talk about it, because while you're on calm seas and they on wavy seas right now, don't you think that the sea that you're in won't get rocky sometime? And when it gets rocky, your boat's going to start rocking. And some things you will do when your storms are raging, you depend on how severe it is. You don't know the stuff that will come out of you. You don't know what is on the inside of you that tribulations can bring out of you. You're prideful now, high, hofty, lifted up now. But I got news for you. Tribulations can make you start picking out of God. See, right now, you know, if it's not a filet mignon and it's just a, you know, sirloin steak, you ain't gonna eat that, because that I don't eat nothing but filet mignon. Oh, no, I don't like that. You want some shrimp? Are they prawn? No, I don't eat them little small. You got to have the best of everything right now. But let tribulation show up at your door. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. With its bags packed. And move in your house. And stay there long enough. And watch what tribulation can make you do. Tribulation will have you picking out other folk trash can. Looking for the scraps that fell from their don't tell me what you won't do if tribulation stays long enough. Don't tell me what distresses won't make you do and how it won't make you look if it stays there long enough. But thanks be to God, it still no matter how long it stays, can separate his love from us. Listen again, it's not over with yet. It says a persecution. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I've said before, sometimes the persecution of man and what he brings against you can make those who love you most second guess their love. Make your mama second guess, is that her child? Make you second guess yourself to the point where you don't even feel worthy of the love of God. And you give up on your own self. And that's where folk commit suicide, take amphetamines and hallucinogenic drugs and barbiturates, et cetera, trying to get temporary relief because they've given up on themselves because of persecution. But know that persecution is going to come. But through it all, the Lord loves you and he will sustain you because he knows you better than you know yourself. But he says something else. He says not only persecution, he says, or famine. In the word of God, two brothers. One got so hungry that he sold his birthright.
Yes.
The blessings that were rightfully his as firstborn. Famine. There are some things that you will do in those times you wouldn't do in any other times. But even that won't separate us from his love. Or nakedness. Because of embarrassment, because of exposure, because of your openness to everybody and cannot cloak yourself. Some folk give in and they run and hide in places where the enemy wants you to be, that pulls you from the place where God wants you to be, but yet not from his love. And then notice what it says. Our peril. Many of us live through and in perilous times. And all of those simply mean problematic times. And yet we should never ever think that the problems we go through is because God's love is cut off from us. It is because he loves us that he allows us to go through perilous times. It is because he has bragged on us, broadcast to the enemy. Have you considered my servant? Say your name now. And God has said to the enemy, have you considered my child? That there's none like him or her. Love God, eschew it, hate it, evil. They're going to prove faithful to the end. They're going to be there. Because my love will not cut off from them, and they will be faithful to my love. And he says, our sword? Will you let something that's designed to defeat you, destroy you, cut you off from God's love? No. Psalm 118 and 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? He may be able to take that sword and kill the body. And that's where his ability ends. I'm afraid of a God who can kill the body and the spirit and the soul, everything underneath the skin. I'm afraid of a God who can do to me what no other power can do to me, both in this life and the life to come. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because I go to what he's got reserved for me, what he's prepared for me. But if I stay here, he's going to be with me. So either way it goes, we're together. And when you live with that mentality, what can separate you? Because it's that mentality, it's that mindset that I am more than a conqueror. More than. And when you believe like the word desires for you to believe, and you think like the word desires you to think, and you do what the word desires for you to do, you demonstrate daily in situations, circumstances, in both the natural and the spirit realm, that you are an overcoming victor according to the promise of God. His love sustains you in a position of victory.
Yes, sir.
You may have to go through some stuff to end up at the finish line, but keep your eyes on the prize. Every time you decide you're feeling like you got to give up or throw your hands up or wave the white flag, keep your eyes on the prize. Because here's what every person knows before they enter a race. They make an assessment. Is the prize worth the race?
Yes, sir.
Is the prize worth the race? And no matter what you decide to get in, the race, the fight, whatever the case may be, you look at the end first and say, this is what it is going to be for the winner, for the victor. And you get in it based on what's going to happen in the end. And I've got news for you, my brothers and sisters. You're going to have to go through something to get it. But what you've got to do is refresh yourself in the fact that it is worth everything I go through to get in the end what I am going to get as a victor, as a winner.
Yes, sir.
And if the devil can keep you from remembering why you're running, if the devil can ever make you forget why you're fighting, if the devil can take your focus off the end and put it on all that you're going through, he'll cause you to lose the race and lose everything that you've invested thus